Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. I'm going to begin at verse number 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1.
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Bow with us. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray You'd open our heart to it and open it to our heart. We trust that You would, Lord, mix in our soul with faith this truth, that it might change us, that we would hear what needs to be heard, that we would obey and trust You. We pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit as we confess our frailty and ask God that You be in the midst. Father, speak it to us now as only You can, for I ask this earnestly in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You'll notice in verse number 1, there is a period after that statement, and I believe we need to take it as such. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, period. Rejoice in the Lord, period. In chapter number 4, he challenges them even more greatly. I love the book of Philippians. What a wondrous truth. What power in every chapter seems the apostle wrote to this church in Philippi, a great truth, but it's still relevant today. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I wonder tonight how many things hinder us from truly doing that simple thing. If that was our only direction, if that was our only command, how many of us would have been successful today? How many of us would have found our place? before his throne, how many of us would have confidently and successfully rejoiced in the Lord? You can't measure it as I do, right? I don't, the way I worship God is maybe different than you. I heard a guy the other day, as he was talking about preachers that cried, he kind of made fun of them. And I thought to myself, I don't know how else to do it. I can't. I don't know what else to do. But as I thought to myself, I don't worship God for him.
Right. Amen.
And he won't worship God for me.
Right.
And if what it takes for him to truly worship God is to do it a different way, then God bless him. And whatever it takes for you to do it, my brethren, finally, listen to me, what he said was, finally. If I've got to sum it up for you, he said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Don't let anything steal from you the opportunity to rejoice in God.
Yeah,
now, he's fixing to tackle the problem. And he wrote to them in a very specific way. They had some troubles at that church.
Yeah.
And Paul, when he first went into Philippi, you'll remember that he had a vision before he ever went into Macedonia. He had a vision of a man. Well, he was dreaming, and the man was standing there saying, come and help us in Macedonia. Now, Philippi was that chief city of Macedonia. And so when he woke, he told the rest of them with him, he said, we're going to Macedonia. And they set straightway toward that place. And when he got there, you'll remember he couldn't find a synagogue. There wasn't any place for him to preach the word. So he went down by the river to pray. And as he was praying, there were some women off down there, and they heard him praying. And the Bible said one named Lydia, who loved God, inquired of what it was he was praying about. And he led her to Christ. And before you know it, there was a band of believers that started to assemble. You see, God wanted something in Philippi. Oh, the wickedness of that place. And yet God wanted to raise up something there that would shine the light of Christ into the hearts of unbelievers. You'll remember how that the young lady that was possessed of the devil would follow Paul and Silas around, and as he spoke to them and kept after him. Finally, he cast that devil out, and Paul ended up in the jail, and the Philippian jailer got saved, and then his family got saved, and a church was born in Philippi. And yet it wasn't long after Paul had departed that the enemy had snuck in, crept in, doing what the enemy does, and that's telling lies. Telling things that were not true. And as the apostle writes to them this letter, I believe from his heart, he says to them, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. He said, to write the same things to you is not grievous to me. He was saying to them, look, I've got to tell you the same thing I've told you before. I've got to reiterate what I shared with you concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not grievous me to do this, because I know for you it is safe, it is needful. It is something that you desperately need. And then he begins, beware of dogs. Now, he wasn't referring to dogs as we know it. He was referring to them that corrupt the gospel.
Right.
He was referring to them that add something to Jesus.
Yeah.
He was referring to them that dilute and corrupt the word of Almighty God.
Right.
The Bible said that we can be angry, but we can't sin. If there's anything that should upset us, it ought to be when people are lying about the gospel.
Amen.
There's anything that should trouble our soul, it's when people corrupt the good news of Jesus Christ and try to bend it or change it to fit their own agendas or their own ways. Beware, he said, of the evil workers. Dogs, he called them, quite bold in his statement. He didn't appreciate what they did. And I don't know where you stand, but there's people today, friend, all over this world that would infiltrate the house of God and would tell a truth, untruth, that would cause men to fall away and to believe and add something to the grace of Jesus Christ. Listen, it's either Christ or it's not Christ. You cannot add anything to it. You can't take anything from Christ and it still be salvation. Dogs, evil workers, beware of the concision That word concision simply means butchers. He called them butchers. For what they wanted to do was to come into this Gentile city. And the Judaizers, what they wanted to do was convince all of them that they truly could not be born again until they had been circumcised in the flesh. What a ridiculous statement. What an unbelievable thing. And yet we today don't face such hardships of wickedness, seemingly not on that part, but may I say to you today, they're still out there.
Amen.
There's people that are still out there that would corrupt the truth of Christ, who would tell someone that you have to do this or you have to do that, you have to dress this way, you have to act that way, you have to follow this particular thing. May I say to you today, if you get born again, it'll be through Jesus Christ and Him alone. It won't be through any work of the flesh. It won't be through anything that man has concocted. It won't have anything to do with a religion or a denomination. Being born again is of Christ and Christ alone. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the butchers in this society that would add something to the gospel of Christ. Here is a way that we can always tell truth from error. Friend, if you have deviated from truth, then you will add something or take something from Christ, and in doing so, corrupt the gospel. There is nothing that can save but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Beware, beware. They're out there. Those that would tell us that there is something else you have to do. Anytime that you see legalism within a church, you have error.
Right.
Now, I preached, I hope it was clear this morning, there's a responsibility for us to be holy.
Right.
There's a call for us to be righteous and to follow that which is on the inside. But if you think today that your righteousness will get you into heaven, you've missed the mark.
Right.
There is no flesh that will please God, not within itself. The only way that we stand, the only way we have confidence, the only way that we have any peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us and bought us, amen, and cleansed us from our own sin. He alone is salvation. There is none other. Their problem was a tad different than ours. But I want you to see what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach them in this letter as he wrote it to them. He said, beware of these butchers, for they come in declaring that circumcision is the only way ultimate to please God, but they didn't even understand circumcision. The book of Deuteronomy, you'll find that what God intended with Moses all along, circumcision of the flesh, was simply an outward showing of something that must have had taken place in the heart first. You can say that you've been circumcised in the flesh, but friend, that did not make you holy before God. Being circumcised simply as in baptism, an outward showing of something that inwardly has taken place. They came in and corrupted the gospel of Christ, trying to make it mean something, have something tied to it. May I say today that all you need to be saved is Christ.
Amen.
Christ. The Apostle Paul says this. I'd like to take my text from the next verse. The Apostle Paul says, but we are the circumcision. Because the true circumcision was not that of the flesh, but it was of the heart.
Amen.
He said, if they want to talk about circumcision, fine. We are the circumcision. They are not. They can talk about an outward showing all day long, but it's nothing on the flesh that'll get you to heaven.
Right.
For he made it clear to them, for we have no confidence in the flesh. Look to take our thought tonight with that simple truth. There is no confidence in the flesh. If what you think salvation is tied to something that is directly responsible for your performance,
right. Bless you.
That is not salvation.
Amen.
You best be grateful to God that it's not based upon your performance.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what they did. Why in the world would we want to corrupt the gospel? Why would we want to corrupt something so gracious and benevolent as the gospel of Jesus Christ? One who would love me in spite of me and give me the opportunity to be born again. In spite of myself, He would love me and call me out of that sin. What a terrible truth to know that in this world today there are people that distort the gospel and corrupt it. May we be on guard. Beware. Be on guard of the dogs, the evil workers, the butchers of this world that would take the blessed and lovely gospel of Jesus Christ and distort it, corrupt it, make it into something that it is not, turn it into something as vile and wretched as simply saying, repeat after me. Sign this card. Be baptized. And you'll go to heaven. That's as far from the gospel as you can get.
Yeah, amen.
You could go to church a million times and it won't merit the favor of God. The apostle was clear. He said, we have no confidence in the flesh. There is nothing in the flesh that will get me to God. The only way that I get there is the day when ultimately I lay the flesh down and in the spirit I cross over. Beware of the concision. The men and women out there that corrupt. And I can tell you why most of them do it. It's for greed and filthy lucre.
Amen.
They follow the desires of their hearts. And it's quite simply people are weak-minded mostly. And can be manipulated in so many ways. It's no wonder the apostle wrote to them and said, beware of the evil workers. Beware of those that would butcher and add something to the cause of Christ. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, the Apostle Paul, he takes liberty here. You can find in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he did this again. And in Corinthians, he said to them, he said, let me be a fool for just a moment. What he was saying was, as he said, I'm fixing to be foolish. He said, but I'm being foolish on purpose because I want you to see how ridiculous this really is. And he does it here again. And I hope tonight that we will challenge ourselves, that we will strip from our own minds what we think serving God is truly about. People tie stuff to this.
Amen.
When all in all, it is about Christ. And if we miss that part, we have failed to worship God truly. You cannot worship the Father unless you worship the Son. He alone is to be worshiped. Everything else, if it is added to it, has become legalism. It has become something else, something that has attached itself to Christ. And these are the things we need to sever the ties to that we might truly worship God in spirit. Paul said, you want to talk about circumcision? He said, hey, we are the circumcision. We've been circumcised in the heart. We worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in the truth of Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. And yet he goes on to declare, he said, but if you want to talk about the flesh, let's talk about it. And so he begins to share his own story. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You want confidence in the flesh? He said, I was circumcised at 8 days old. Want confidence in the flesh? He said, I was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Concerning being a Jew, he said, I was a Jew of Jews. I was a Pharisee. Concerning the law, he said, I was blameless concerning that law.
Right.
You want to talk about confidence in the flesh? He said, I had it.
Right.
Everything that I did because I was confident In being a Jew, I was confident in what I served. I was confident that what I was doing was right. I persecuted the church with a passion. Confidence in the flesh. But he said, I found out the moment I met Christ that all of this I would trade to know Him. Everything that I had confidence, he said, I found out it was meaningless. It meant nothing then, he said, to be circumcised in the flesh. It did not mean anything to simply be of the stock of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. No, he said, gladly would I trade it in an instant to have Christ in me.
Right. Amen.
Confidence in the flesh? No. No, he said. No, not confidence in the flesh. He said, I've found Christ, and he said, all of those things I once had confidence in, he said, I found them were nothing but lost to me. Oh, how people grieve sometimes over things that are lost. And yet we find what the scripture says, as I shared this morning, that when we truly find the pearl of great price, we gladly sell everything else. What is it you're holding on to? Maybe the reason you struggle today is because you're still trying to find that confidence in the flesh. You'll not find it. It doesn't match with Christ, you see. Because the nearer we get to the Lamb, the smaller we become. And the worse our flesh becomes. The nearer we get to the light, the more exposed is the corruptness of the flesh. And if you today live and have pride in the flesh, believing that in your flesh, isn't it what gets us in trouble is our flesh? Isn't it what brings us into those hard things and those struggles of life is when we allow the flesh to rise up in us. When we allow the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, these very things that so many have confidence in. Isn't it those things that snare us and bring us low and bring us to a place that we must repent to find peace again? Amen. Confidence in the flesh will get us nowhere. The truth is if our confidence is in the flesh today, we will miss Christ. We will miss Christ. How so? Time and time again, we find examples in the Word of God where they came to Him in their own confidence. One came to Him, said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I mean, if anybody He was going to save, right here's one, come ask Him to be saved.
Right.
Jesus said, keep the commandments, and He said, which? Yeah. Jesus told Him, He said, I've kept all them since my youth. Jesus looked at Him and He said, one thing you're missing. Now, Jesus knew He hadn't kept all them commandments,
right,
too.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He was lying. But He said, one thing that you need to do yet. He said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow Me. You know what the man did? He walked away sorrowful. See, his confidence was in the flesh. His confidence was in something that couldn't save him.
Right.
Jesus knew what his problem was, and He challenged his problem on the spot. May I say to you today, when He finds you, He'll challenge your problem.
Amen.
You'll either find Christ as Christ, or you'll not find Him at all. He doesn't share the glory. He didn't share the spot of being Lord. Not with any, not ever. If you want Christ, you'll come to Christ. And you'll deny everything else. The apostle said to them, confidence in the flesh? No. He said, all those things. He said, yea, doubtless. No doubt at all. He said, I count all those things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whom, he said, I have suffered. I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but done that I may win Christ. People doesn't need... We think they need all kinds of religiosity, but they don't. What they need more than anything is Christ. They need the simplicity of Christ. They need something that is unadulterated, something that is pure. They need Christ. You know what? If a person just simply loved Jesus all of their life, they'd be all right. If they'd just keep their eyes focused on Him, they'd be just fine. We don't need to add this to it or add that to it or take anything from it. We just need to point people to Jesus Christ. You say it's too simple. You've got to convince them. You've got to change them. You've got to direct them. You've got to do this. Let me tell you something. If the Holy Spirit can't direct a soul, I'm in trouble. I don't have any hope today if the Holy Spirit can't do this work. We are trusting, friend, in someone who has all power to do His will. I have no confidence in the flesh. And may my life ever be an example of losing confidence as I go. Now, we're still going back to the Beatitudes. I can't get past what Jesus was telling. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed for those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those, you see, that have lost all confidence in the flesh. We heard our brother this morning confessing and repenting in front of us concerning how the confidence in the flesh will snare. And it'll hurt. It'll hinder. See, the better thing is to simply confess, I have no confidence in my flesh. People think we're crazy. They thought Jesus was. He said, you want life? Lose yours. That's no confidence in the flesh, is it? No. He said, you want to have? Give it away. Everything He did was contrary to the nature and the flesh of man. I have no confidence in the flesh. What they want you to do today is to build confidence into people. Build them up. You can do it. Pull your socks up. Tie your boots tighter. You can do it. You can do this. You're stronger than you think. Just think positive. They lie.
Amen.
What I really need is Jesus. Because my flesh will never save me. It will never deliver me. It will never keep me. You say, preacher, then what in the world is our flesh supposed to do? Mind Him. That's what we're supposed to do. According to the Scripture, He said, bring your flesh under subjection. So that our flesh becomes obedient to every will and desire of the inward man, the man that is on the inside, the righteousness which is of faith in God, not righteousness of our own selves. Come get a song. Let me close with this. It's real easy to fall into the snare of having confidence in the flesh. Here's how it can happen. You have one of those services that is just heavenly. You sit in the very presence of God Himself and witness things that the rest of the world cannot see. And you leave here thinking that somehow you did that. Somehow. Because I did this or because I did that. Somehow. It had something to do with me. You see, ultimately, if we can get the mindset that every good thing comes from God.
Right. Amen.
The only good that there is in Christ. I have nothing, Paul said, to boast of. And yet he said in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, he said, let me be foolish for a minute and boast. And boy, he did, didn't he? By the time he got done boasting, I felt about that big. I ain't went through anything he's gone through. Not anything. And yet Paul said all that. All that. All that means nothing. No. I'd do it 1,000 times over for Christ. To win Christ. If your confidence, friend, is in anything but Jesus Christ alone, you have missed the point. You cannot do it in your flesh. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the meek. And remember now, each time he said this, blessed are they, there was something on the back of that. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You don't get there with confidence in the flesh. You get there by admitting that the flesh has no power. You get there by admitting that the flesh is my biggest problem. It is the enemy that would tear me down more than anything else in this world. The flesh we have no confidence in. It will fail. If your confidence is in men, it will fail you. Because they will fail too. If Jesus himself wasn't willing to say that he was good, of all that was good, Jesus was good. And yet when they said, good master, he said, why do you call me good? God is good. Then who am I to ever say, I'm good? All right, let me finish with this. I believe it's important to encourage one another. There are times when you get low, and it's helpful for us to come alongside one another, put our arms around one another, to join hands, and to remind one another that we're in this together. See, the truth is I don't have a problem patting you on the back. Because, oh, how I love you. And what a blessing you are to me. But I also know that you are a blessing not because of you, because of him through you. No confidence in the flesh. I'd rather be honest and just look you in the eye and say it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. Because your flesh will never stop fighting for its right to rule. It will never get to the place that it just gives up and surrenders. To the last breath, your flesh will fight. That's a pretty grim picture. No, hang on. My confidence is in, if it's in something that is eternal, then that changes everything else. If my confidence is in the flesh, what happens to the flesh, we know? It dies. If your confidence is in flesh, that is temporal. My confidence is not in the flesh. It is in Christ. So whether I live or die, I am Christ's. So it ain't anything doing about my flesh. I am His. He is mine forever. Forever. Confidence in the flesh, I don't need it. Because my flesh can't save me. My flesh can't deliver me. My confidence needs to be in the one that can do what I can't do. what my flesh can't do. My confidence is in Christ and Him alone. And every day we learn that lesson. Every day we renew that truth that in Jesus Christ alone, I am what I am. He is all in all. He is everything to us. It is all in Christ. I encourage you today to lose so that you might win this wondrous battle. Give up on yourself. We're getting close. Give up on yourself. You say, I don't have a problem with my flesh. Then why can't you shout? Why can't you raise your hand? Why can't you audibly say, thank you, Jesus? It's because you're ashamed. You're embarrassed. You know what that is? That's confidence in the flesh. You got to lose to win in this game. You got to give up to conquer in this one. You got to let go to lay hold of the greatest. Can you do it? It's hard, ain't it? I know about half of you when I started was thinking, yeah, I got this. No, you live in the flesh. So I know you ain't got this really. Everything in you wants to let the flesh rule. Paul said, I don't have no confidence in the flesh. It fails me every time. Every time I give the flesh just a little bit of rope, it tries to hang me. The flesh. No confidence in the flesh. When we sell out and He becomes all in all, we're getting close to what it means to serve and worship Him. If you're here tonight and you're ready to give up, right? You're saying, I'm not going up there to pray. That's your flesh. And that's your flesh winning if you sit still. I'm not going to acknowledge that. I'm not going to testify. I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to confess. I'm not. You know, that's your flesh. And as long as you let your flesh dictate what you do, then you have confidence in the flesh and not God. You got to lose to win this one. You got to give up to gain. You got to let go to have. That's what Jesus preached everywhere He went, and they couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear it. That's where He's trying to get us. Is to let go of the world. Let go of every inhibition in the flesh that you have to worshiping God. And to turn loose. Give up on the flesh and just mind the Spirit. If you're here as we stand and sing, the Spirit of God leads you and obey Him tonight. Obey Him.